listening to Vet Candy.
Hi, this is Dr. Jessica Turner, and you are listening to Living Well with Dr. Jessica. This is your one stop for all things wellness, not just your nutrition talk, but everything in between, from relationships to parenting advice to the environment. It's all here, you guys.
This program is brought to you by Centrix Animal Care, makers of Aquinovis Biohance Gel Eye Drops, advanced hydration for dry, irritated eyes, and Oculenis Biohance Ocular Repair Gel, accelerated healing for ocular injuries with fewer applications. Start learning today at myvetcandy.com/eyes.
And I'm excited to be back. I know that it's been a little while since we have been on together. I have been in the process of moving into a new home, which was long overdue since we were living in our so-called mini house. And so we are ecstatic. I'm exhausted, but my heart is full. And I couldn't be more excited to share with you all. Not only do we have a wonderful guest today, but I need your help with something. Living Well with Dr. Jessica has been nominated for the People's Choice Awards with podcasts, and I would so appreciate your support if you would take the time to check out the notes on how you could vote. Voting is through the month of July, and how awesome would it be if we were able to snag that title and help get the word out even more of the show. And so again, you could check the notes for that. But getting into today's show, I have a special guest for you guys. And the reason I'm saying that is because most of my shows, I don't know the guests per se up into recording. We may chat behind the scenes, but I don't know them personally. It's an honor to get to know them. But today's guest is actually a friend of mine that I've had the privilege of calling her friend the last couple of years. And I just can't wait to share her story with you. I know it's just going to be so incredible for so many people. So without further ado, our guest today is Christine McNabb. She is a mom and mother of four. She is a maternal mental health advocate, and she was the founder of This Mama Wines, which is a platform that you've guessed is focused towards mothers, but had a very heavy emphasis on that maternal mental health and mental health in general. And that's how we initially connected, which I'll share a little bit more, but I just want to help me welcome her on today. Christine, I am thrilled that you said yes. I just can't wait to hang out together today. So welcome.
Thank you, Jessica. Thank you for inviting me. I'm excited to be here.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
If you are like me, you want to advance your skills when caring for patients' eyes, and that means improving your clinical confidence. That's why Vet Candy created a master course in ophthalmology. This master course is taught by a board-certified veterinary ophthalmologist and delivers a thorough evaluation of the science and clinical practice skills needed to master ophthalmic disease, from diagnosis and management to treatment. What's really exciting is that this course is free and provides RACE and New York State-approved continuing education credits. And when you complete the master course, you'll receive exclusive tools to celebrate, recognize, and share your accomplishment.
So for our listeners, and correct me if I get years wrong, but Christine and I were connected because a friend of mine that also experienced postpartum depression had shared her personal story through This Mama Wines with Christine and her team, and was featured in one of their publications. They would highlight women's stories every month, and she told me that I should reach out to them to share my story pertaining to postpartum depression. And so I finally did. I'm really good at saying I'm going to do something and then like forgetting over and over and over. I know y'all could relate to that, but I was actually on a vacation at the beach and was trying to figure out how I could get involved with writing more and remembered this opportunity. And so reached out to Christine, we hopped on the phone, and within a matter of 30 minutes or so, we went from deciding that I shouldn't just share my story, but I should actually be a part of their team of monthly contributors. And so it was such a crazy, I don't know, a turn of events. And I think that was in 2018.
Actually, I think it was 2017, Jessica.
It was. I'm like trying to figure out the math in my head, but it was such an incredible experience because we're kind of sprinkled all over the place, the women that would come together and make that platform what it was. And we would just hop on and discuss all things dealing with, you know, motherhood and what was needed out there. And we would just get to share our hearts with the world. And it was like my floaties in writing. It gave me the confidence to believe that my words were worth reading. And so I'm just forever grateful to you, Christine, for seeing something in me and believing me in me in that aspect. But I would love to turn it over to you and just let you share your story and how this Mama Wine came about and why this ended up being such a passion project for you.
Okay. So this Mama Wines came about after I had my fourth child. But leading up to my fourth child, he was born November 16th, 2015. And previous to him, I have three girls at the time, ages 10, 6, and 4. No, I think I'm saying that wrong. I'm pretty sure I'm saying that wrong. But I have four children altogether. And it was crazy because when we found out that I was pregnant, I wasn't really expecting to be pregnant. We were just potty training or finished potty training our Chloe. And I was kind of like, all right, it's done, you know, time to live my life. Found out I was pregnant. I wasn't the happiest, but my husband was extremely happy. He was like, all right, cool.
You know? At least one of y'all was, right? You need that.
Yes. So, you know, and that's just the reality of it. You know, you love kids, but like you're just trying to get your life together because kids, they drain you. It's a lot. So, you know, going through the motions, I felt that I was already uneasy about being pregnant, but, you know, I was like, all right, we're doing this thing. Then we went for a doctor's appointment and it was actually the scan to see the gender. And I found out that I was having a boy and my husband was extremely excited and my heart sank. It was completely opposite. He was like, talking about matching golf clothes and I was numb to the fact that here I am bringing a black boy into the world, especially with all the stuff that had been going on with police violence and black children and black people across the country. So I just kind of, my heart sank. And so that's where I was for like the remainder months of my pregnancy. You know, I tried to enjoy them and everything, but it was like this anxiety was building inside of me. After I had Brandon, via C-section. It was traumatic. This was my fourth C-section. And because it was my fourth C-section, I had to have two doctors in the room to perform the C-section. I had a lot of scar tissue and it took a long time. I was determined to stay awake throughout the delivery, and I did, but it was probably a few hours before I actually was out of the operating room because they had a lot of scar tissue to remove and to sew me back together. So it was very traumatic in that sense. You know, I was in the hospital, I think here in New Orleans, it was probably like 2 days being in the hospital after a C-section. And when it was time for me to go, I told them like I wasn't ready to go, like I couldn't leave. But that's all I could say. There was nothing physically wrong with me. I just was like, I can't leave here. But they were like, you're ready to go. And so I was sent home. And coming home, it was just awful. It was like I was thrown into chaos of my other children. So now I have four children. I had help here between my mother and my mother-in-law. Brandon was off of work for some time. There was nothing actually wrong, but there was something internally wrong with me that I just could not pinpoint. I couldn't keep still. I had to do things. I had to try to control the atmosphere around me. Even though, like, I know I was supposed to be resting, I just could not rest. I did not, it made me anxious to nurse him. I felt isolated a lot. I did so much that my incision ended up opening, which was awful. So it was kind of like this whirlwind of emotions, but not really understanding or being able to pinpoint what was truly wrong with me. So when Brandon was a couple months old, my husband found me in my room, in our room, and I was like, I can't do this anymore. I need to leave. Actually, before he found me in the room, I called my parents, and thankfully they didn't answer, but I called them because I was like, I'm coming home. That's all I knew, was that I needed to escape. I needed to, like, get out of this. When he found me and I told him how I was feeling, he was like, so where are we going? Like, you're not leaving me here with these kids. And I'm like, I don't know, you know, I can't really explain what's going on. And at that moment, he and I decided that I needed to go get some help because I couldn't explain how I was feeling, but I knew it was off. It was wrong. I ended up going back to see my OB because, you know, we'd just been 9 months together. So she knew my body. And I went in and she was like, hey, Christine, what's up? And I was like, I have no idea. And I was like, I can't explain what's going on. She closed the door and we sat there for over an hour just talking about my feelings and everything that I had been experiencing for the past few months since Brandon was born. And she said, me too.
Oh, those words. They bring such comfort, right?
Yes. And so when I delivered Brandon in November, she delivered her child in December. So she was going through the same emotions, but she was able to identify them being a doctor and actually going through this before. And so she knew exactly how I was feeling and she diagnosed me with postpartum depression. And she was like, you know, I can't tell you what to do. These are the different options, but you need to do what's best for you now that we have an understanding of what's going on. So at that moment, I opted to get treated through medication and then I sought out therapy just to get the ball going. And so once I started my medication and started talking about what was going on, I realized that out of four children, it took up to four children for me to know that this is a real thing because no one ever talked about it. No one talked about postpartum depression. And so I was like, why am I just now finding out about this? Why is this such a secret? And that's where I took to my Facebook page and I just went on this long rant about my feelings and how messed up this world is that moms are supposed to hold it all in. And it was crazy because I didn't know what the response was going to be or if I was even looking for a response. I was just so angry. And I started receiving messages in my inbox for Facebook and other moms that I knew were like, you know, I'm feeling the same way. And they were like, thank you for saying something like this, you know, and I'm like, wait a minute. So I'm not the only one going through this. Other people that I know have gone through this and no one's talking about it.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Hey, this is Dr. Quincy Hawley, and I'm here to tell you about a new show. It's Vet Candy Rounds with the Hawleys. That's right, Dr. Tierra, the love of my life, and I have teamed up to bring you the most fascinating cases in the world. Check us out on iTunes, Spotify, or a podcast platform of your choice, only on Vet Candy Radio.
I don't know that I knew the part of your story leading up to your actual delivery and then the delivery itself and being as traumatic as it was and so anxious, you know, anxiety filled. And I don't think that's like you have to have those components to have postpartum depression by any means. I think you can have a wonderful, perfect pregnancy and delivery and still have these feelings and this, you know, just knowing something's off, but you're not sure why. But I do think that there is a correlation between traumatic pregnancy, delivery, that type of scenario being more likely to lead to postpartum depression. And I didn't realize that until after I, you know, started educating myself a little bit more on the topic after going through it myself. But my pregnancy was a nightmare from the very beginning because, I mean, I went into preterm labor at 26 weeks and was put on bed rest and in and out of the hospital. And while I was grateful to not have to have a C-section for my delivery, my girls were taken immediately. I knew the second they told me their weights that one was going straight to the NICU. I had in my mind a weight that had been given with ultrasounds, predicting that they would be big enough to not have to go. And then when I heard a number that was almost a pound less, you know, I remember just kind of like freezing, and my doctor actually asking, are you okay? And all I could think of was, this isn't what's supposed to be happening. Like, she's not supposed to have to go to the NICU. Like, yeah, you know, we have this idea of what things are going to look like. And I think so often, you know, life kind of throws us a curveball and it doesn't go any way that we expected. And I think that just adds to that experience being traumatizing, and to the degree of some women having post-traumatic, you know, stress disorder. And I don't think there's any talk about that when it comes to maternal mental health, because it just seems like so crazy. I don't know. I know in my mind, I have that labeled towards things that are more known, such as, you know, when you come back from serving in the military and that type of thing. But nobody talks about, you know, walking away from their delivery with PTSD, right?
Yes, I definitely had PTSD when it came to C-sections. I remember at least like when Mackenzie was born, our second child, the thought of me having to go get anesthesia without my husband next to me frightened me, because they put you in this room with all these spotlights over your head. You know, it's kind of like, what is going on? And so I did that with Mackenzie. I did that with Chloe. And then by the time Brandon came, I was already anxious to a whole nother level. I was shaking so much, Jessica. They had to hold me down. Two people had to hold me down to give me an epidural and a spinal tap. And Brandon was outside the door and not in there with me. So it was kind of like all these things are going on and I still have to deliver a child. And it's like, you know, am I capable of doing this? Like, you know. And then you hear all these horror stories. It's like, it's awful. It's awful. And I feel like, you know, this is my personal opinion, but moms are not looked out for. They're not taken care of. They forget all about the mom and the circumstances and how the mother's going to feel, not just physically, but mentally, because this is a lot. And then we're still expected to go home a day or two later and take care of a child.
We all know, you know, in the age we're living in, and there's just so much noise through social media, and you're always going to see the picture perfect, you know, after the delivery and the baby cutely dressed and, you know, announcing the weight and the name and all that stuff, which is wonderful. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I think that's a beautiful part of things, but I think so many people, especially new moms, have that picture of that's what things are going to be like. And it's just such a rude awakening when you walk through that process yourself and you realize there's nothing glamorous about this. And for some of us, it's honestly, I don't say this often, but when I think of the day that my girls were born, I have very mixed like emotions tied to it. Of course, it's one of the best days of my life because they were born, but at the same time, it was one of the worst days of my life. And the weeks following, I mean, by far, I would never want to go back to that. And then I think there's guilt associated with that, especially if you had a smooth experience leading up and then you find yourself in this place where things just aren't what you expected.
Society puts it out there that moms are supposed to be so strong and like, you know, push through everything and just kind of get over it. But the reality is you can't get over this stuff. We talk about the physical, but it's like the mental emotions that and all the burdens that come from delivering a child, no matter if you had it naturally or C-sections or you know, all these different things. Like, I found out my bladder, they had to, my bladder was sitting on top of me. And it's like, this stuff is not normal, but it happens every single day. And we're just supposed to just move on from it. It's a hard thing.
And that's why I knew I had to have you on the show. We both have been in that situation where we feel like we are truly the only people experiencing what we're experiencing. You know, I didn't have a ton of friends when, you know, I became a mother, and I only had one that was a mother already and was a singleton. You know, I didn't really know anyone that had twins, and the people that I did were more of, you know, like acquaintances, and their experience was like not normal. It was so smooth and perfect, like worked up until they had them, they went home with them, all this stuff. And so I truly had this picture, not only in mothers in general, but even moms of multiples, that what was going on with me wasn't normal. But then I was being told, but it is, because you have two, you know, like you're going to be overwhelmed. You're going to have all these emotions because you have two kids overnight, literally. And so that played such a big part in my diagnosis not occurring early on as yours was, and what is more typical of what you hear. And I think the longer I went, the more I was like, well, that's not what this is, because you're supposed to experience that within a couple of weeks. Well, yeah, I didn't remember the first couple of weeks because I wasn't sleeping, because I was always changing a diaper or feeding a kid. I just want our listeners to know that as well. If you are, you know, listening and you're like, well, shoot, is this me? And then you start talking yourself out of it because maybe it's been a year since, you know, you had your child. It doesn't matter. You could still very easily be dealing with the same, you know, scenario. The timeline, you know, it's not like it has to be within the first couple of weeks or the first couple of months, you know, to seek help.
So Brandon is now 5, he'll be 6 in November. And I'm like, I'm 5 years postpartum, and I'm almost 6 years postpartum, and I'm still dealing with this. I'm still going through the motions of learning how to take care of myself and to get on the right track for my mental health. It's a process. It's a long process. And what my initial diagnosis came about, you know, it unraveled some other things. And then I was like fully diagnosed with more things. So I was diagnosed with postpartum depression, anxiety, OCD, psychosis at one point. And then that was all within the first year and a half with Brandon. And then as I'm dealing with it and going through medications, going through therapy, going through all the things, yoga practices and oils, I've tried everything. And so now here I am 5 years later, I'm diagnosed with OCD and with depression, anxiety. So it's kind of like, you know, just wrapping your head, like there's no exact timeline on this, and we can't get caught up on a timeline, because if you get caught up on a timeline, you'll end up not taking care of yourself the proper way. And that's what happened to me, because I thought, oh, well, I've been on medication for 6 months. I should be done taking medication by now. No, that's not how that works. I end up hurting myself even worse than I did from the beginning, because I was so caught up on what I thought I was supposed to be. So it's like, don't worry about what you think is supposed to be or how something's supposed to look. You have to take care of yourself. It's easier said than done. You know, people say all the time, you know, for the baby to be healthy, mommy has to be healthy. Yeah, we could say that. We could say that. We know all the things. But we have to have the right support system. We have to be around people who are honest to say, like, yeah, this is messed up, but let's get through this together. We have to have proper resources and know that communities really need to come together and support the mom the way we should be supported. Whether it's childcare, whether it's groceries, whether it's like all the basic necessities have shifted a little bit once you become mom.
So this is a perfect time for us to take a little break for our listeners. So we'll go to a quick commercial and we'll be right back. We're going to dig back in with what this experience led to and the incredible work that you were able to do through taking something that could have just stayed as, you know, a bad experience. So we'll be right back in a minute.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy. Vet Candy Life is a talk show hosted by well-being gurus Dr. Quincy Hawley and Renee Michelle. Each episode features expert tips, lifestyle advice, and real-life experiences from the most interesting people in the world. Check it out on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and more.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. You were listening to Living Well with Dr. Jessica. I am here with Christine McNabb, and we are talking about maternal mental health and our stories and just the need for more awareness. If you have that feeling that you're the only one, we've both been there. And so that's a big part of why we wanted to get together and share our stories with you all so that there's no more, question if you're the only one dealing with this. And so, Christine, welcome back. Let's dig in with when you saw that there was such a need for others becoming more aware of this and allowing them to see you're not alone, me too. Talk about what that led to and how you took that, that need and decided you were going to be the one that was going to make some changes.
Well, thank you. So the interesting thing that it all started with my Facebook page. And then from my posts and hearing other people's responses, I was like, I'm going to just write about this, and I created a blog called This Mama Whines. And, it's a play on words. Let's pop the cork on motherhood, children whine, mom's whine, but let's just talk about all the things, the good, the bad, the ugly. And so it started off with just my voice. And I was like, this isn't fair to the motherhood community. I wanted to bring in more voices. And the only way I knew how to do that was start sharing mom's stories. And so I just started reaching out to people that I knew, moms from across the country. And then they told their friends and they told their friends. And we started collecting stories. And that's how that happened. And it was just this really great articles and great stories. Everybody has a different story. Like, we may think we're all alike in some way, but then it gets deeper than just the surface level stuff. So it was really, really good to for moms just to share their emotions and their healing, or sometimes they're falling apart, just sharing this is the reality of me as a mother. And some of our moms that we showcase, Heavenly Babies or Rainbow Babies or disabled children, and just everybody of all walks of life. So we were able to share all of that to get perspective on what moms truly go through on a day-to-day basis. And then that kind of exploded really fast. And my sister, Courtney, and I were like, let's really do this. So we brought on monthly contributors such as Jessica. And we talked about all topics, whether it's the fun things like crafts or the really heavy things. We talked about it all. We had to talk about things, and it was really good. And our audience spread wide across the country and other countries. We had a big audience, and it was really well. It was a good outlet for our entire team just to kind of release whatever we had going on during the time. Jessica even has her morning call writings and videos that she did that kind of encouraged moms to just keep pushing forward. So that was wonderful. And then locally in New Orleans, we had mom groups, mom support groups, where we just gathered just to kind of release and talk about the things and give support to one another here in New Orleans. And then also I started traveling to different conferences just to find out what else was going on in the mom community and to help us expand this Mama Wine. And through that, I had the opportunity of working with Sage Therapeutics, which is a pharmaceutical company that created the first postpartum drug here in our country. So I was an advocate, a mom advocate. Basically, I shared stories and information that I knew from our community and went back to the pharmaceutical company and said, look, this is what moms need. This is what we're looking for. This is the support that and resources that we need here in our community. And then I had the opportunity of representing not only myself, but This Mama Whines and testified at the FDA to get the approval for the postpartum drug here in our country. But it all started with me just being fed up. I was just exhausted and tired and emotionally depleted, but I didn't know what else to do but to say, this is messed up. You know, there's a quote out there, you know, speak up even if your voice shakes. It was kind of one of those things because I'm like, I know this isn't right. Like, I should not be going through this alone. I know I'm not the only one going through this. We need to start talking more and more about this. And that was my way of doing it. And it was a great ride. But then in October 2019, I decided that I needed a break because although it was growing really fast and we were helping a lot of people, I was not helping myself. Like I said earlier, I'm 5 months postpartum. I'm still figuring things out. And I needed to say, I need to take a break. I need to take care of myself. And so that's currently what I'm doing. I am learning who Christine is. I am still going through therapy and I have a psychiatrist and I'm doing all the things to better myself as not only a mom, but for Christine. And I think that's really important because there are lots of things that we can do in life and a lot of avenues that we can go down. But unless we take care of ourselves in the proper way, all that could come crashing and burning. So I kind of let go over that and said, look, I need a break. I'm tired. But of course, you know, I still have all the resources and all the knowledge, and I'm willing to talk and speak and advocate for every mom out there. I love moms, you know, and I will continue to love moms and point them in the right direction and assist them however I need. But at this moment, I am taking care of myself.
Yeah, you're setting an example for us. And the site is still up. You can still visit at this mama. It's MAMA and then wines, WINES.com. Because I'll still go back to it, whether it's to revisit something that I contributed or one of the other ladies. I just remember instantly falling in love with your mission, your vision, because it was exactly what I needed, you know, in 2014, 2015, whenever I was in the middle of it and really did feel alone. It wasn't until I started sharing my story publicly that I realized, like you, that I was so far from alone, but we were all believing we were by ourselves, you know, together, if that makes sense. I want our listeners to really, I don't know, like take away. I'm so inspired by the fact that you saw a need, you know, it bothered you to the point where you couldn't just remain still and silent. You had to figure out how to do something. And I remember when you were telling me, like you took classes that you had access to, thanks to Brandon, your husband. She educated herself so that she could be a true, you know, weapon per se in the realm of making change. And anybody could do that, but we don't think we can. I love you. And I know you're not going to take this the wrong way, but there's nothing special about you. Didn't have like background training in speaking or, you know, you were just a mom, like you said, that was fed up and saw that change needed to be had. You know, I hope our listeners are inspired by that.
Well, I appreciate that, Jessica. I mean, you're right. I was just here at home, fed up and tired. And I just got on Google, started researching and finding different organizations and finding all the resources I needed to educate myself, not only to help myself, but then to help others. You know, there are times that I've been so deep in it before that I can now recognize when someone else is in it deep. Like, you know, I would see moms at the store and I now intentionally, I will go out and, you know, how can I help you? What do you need me to do? How can I help? You know, because I see that they're in the trenches. I'm like, you know, no one deserves to be in the trenches alone. You know, I'm going to support you the best way I can, like no matter what. No one deserves to be there. No one deserves to be there. And I know it may happen, but you know, we cannot afford to lose another mom. Yeah, like PMAD. So PMAD stands for perinatal mood anxiety disorders. It's a real thing. You know, we hear the stories about mothers and their babies in the bathtubs or off the balconies or whatever. It's a real thing. you know, we have to be aware of what's going on and the lack of resources. And so it's like, even if we're out and about at the store or something, we have to do our part. Hopefully our families are understanding that this is real and we're not just lazy or tired. This is a real thing. Sleep deprivation is real. Like, that can kill you by itself. So we just have to support one another. Got to support one another. We can't wait for somebody else to do it.
Did you find that it was difficult to, like, communicate with your loved ones what was going on? I feel like that was something that I struggled with for a long time because they still don't understand. You know, like, we talk about that, you and I, whenever we visit, because yes, I had postpartum depression, but like you mentioned, it kind of led me down this rabbit hole of like all these other things that I didn't realize that I was dealing with as well. And so I have depression and anxiety, and I have a degree of PTSD from an event that happened when I was in my early 20s. But I was so like blind to all of that until I like verbally said, okay, I think something's wrong, when I was in the trenches of motherhood. And so I'm like you, I'm on a journey. I don't even think of like, when is this going to be? When am I going to reach the end of, you know, having to work through these things? Because I realistically feel like it's just going to be part of my journey forever, you know, having to continue to learn more about myself and how to navigate these things that are unique to me. And while my family's come a really long way with truly trying to understand, it's impossible for them to understand. Do you have any advice, or, you know, like through personal experience, of if we have a listener that's like, okay, yeah, this is me, I know I need help, and they're afraid of voicing that to their loved ones?
Yes, I completely understand the fear of it all, especially because it's something that is not spoken about and there's a huge stigma around it. I would suggest that if you recognize something is definitely wrong or off, to speak to the closest person. It may be your spouse, it may be your best friend, maybe your parent, but speak to the closest person you have around you. But then also contact your medical personnel, whether it's a doctor or a nurse or someone you trust, to say, hey, this is what's going on, because someone needs to know. Now, I understand that they may not accept it, or they may kind of brush it off, or they may laugh and say, oh, it's just a baby blues. No, it's not a joking experience. No, it's not something that should be taken lightly. But you just understand that you saying it out loud and you taking the steps to move forward is what's going to be best for you, because that's what matters at this point. Babies are going to do what they're going to do. They're going to eat, they're going to sleep, they're going to poop. But mom, you have to take care of yourself. And so just know that even if the closest person near you may not understand, someone out there will understand. And Jessica, she can put my email address in the notes. Feel free to email me and I will contact you with a resource close to your area to make sure that you are well taken care of and someone knows what's going on with you, because it is very important that this is not pushed off to the side. Your mental health matters. Mental health is one of the biggest things that you should take care of. Just like, you know, if you have a broken bone, you're going to take care of the broken bone. So we need to make sure you are well taken care of as a mom, as who you are.
I love connecting an analogy within, you know, like the medical realm of things to mental health, whether it's, you know, if you're diagnosed with diabetes, like you're not going to just blow it off and not see about learning how to treat yourself or making changes, you know. So comparing it to like a broken bone, it's so bizarre to think of someone going in and getting a diagnosis of a broken leg and saying, oh, but it'll be fine. Yeah, we just need to take it seriously.
Yeah, mental health is one of the things that definitely needs to be taken seriously. Conversation needs to change, the stigma needs to go away. Yeah, not just for ourselves, but for our children, because our children are also dealing with things. If we are able to understand it better for ourselves, we'll be able to understand it for our children.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy. Vet Candy IRL is an exciting podcast from the hearts, minds, and mouths of Shannon Gregoire, Tatiana Rogers, and Lexi Rodriguez. The show celebrates inspirational role models and focuses on empowerment and equality. Check it out on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and more.
I know without a shadow of a doubt, this call did exactly what I was hoping it would by, you know, not only bringing awareness, but bringing hope. And like Christine mentioned, if you, you know, check the notes for ways to get further resources or contact her personally. With all of this, you know, focus on self-care and the importance of it, I figured it's the perfect time to share with you all a project that we've been working on behind the scenes that is a collection of some of my favorite podcasts that do highlight wellness in general in, you know, in a nice variety, but also compiled with real examples of how you can practice self-care, whether it is, you know, taking time to cook you a meal at home versus, you know, going out to eat, or, you know, these topics like trying to figure out if you need to, you know, seek therapy, counseling. And not only are you going to have a tangible resource, but you also have the opportunity to gain 4 hours of CE through this. And so I can't wait to share it with you guys. I hope it brings so much value to your home. Well, thank you so much, Christine, for being on the show today. I was telling my girls how, you know, I was doing the first recording in the new home and how this one was going to be special because it was a friend of mine. And of course, I make friends with everybody that we, you know, hang out with. But yours was special to me for so many reasons. So I appreciate you.
Jessica, same to you. No, I appreciate you. And I appreciate you asking me to do this, for me to talk about it. You know, I actually, when you asked me, I was kind of nervous. Because I'm like, you know, I haven't done this in a while, but it's still there and it's still relevant. And I'm glad that I'm able to share. And I'm hoping that this helps someone and touches someone and gets them to where they need to be. Before we close, I just want to say that, you know, people talk about self-care all the time. And I love that you said, instead of going out, a way of self-care is like cooking inside your home. A lot of people connect self-care with actually spending money. You don't have to spend money on self-care. You don't have to go get your nails done or whatever. Self-care could be just simply going out on your front porch or on your back porch and taking a deep breath of fresh air, walking around the corner, listening to the birds sing, playing in the dirt, things like that. You know, it doesn't take much, but that's something for you. So find something that's good for you, and that is your self-care.
So many of what you just mentioned are actually huge things that I turn to almost on a daily basis. It's so simple to just walk outside and just close your eyes and listen to the birds. It makes such a big difference for me, at least. I'm glad you added that, because I do think it's such a great point. And I remember actually writing about that specific topic for this Mama Wines. Well, we're going to wrap things up. Again, thank you so much for being on the show today. And to our listeners, just a reminder to check out the notes on how you could go and vote for Living Well with Dr. Jessica, People's Choice Awards. Voting is throughout the month of July, and we'd just be so grateful if you took a moment and did that for us. And until next time, we meet again. This is Dr. Jessica with Living Well, and we'll see you soon. Bye.
Vet Candy.
Vet Candy.
Vet Candy.
It's Vet Candy Radio.